Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Put myself on the clock here. So a lot of COVID out there. A lot of people recovering, a lot of people going through trials, a lot of prayers going up for people. So let's continue sending those prayers to our Father. One of my favorite scriptures, if you would, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. So hopefully this message this afternoon will have something for everyone, to the youngest, to the oldest. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we read, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go." Once we die, we go to the grave. Well, I have come to realize that this particular verse, in my belief and in my thoughts, because of how I was raised, things that I have witnessed throughout my lifetime, that God has had these words recorded in Scripture. And as we know, God's word is truth. You'll find that in John 17, 17. There was a purpose and a reason for everything recorded in God's word. There's an accuracy in this verse throughout, because whatever our hand finds to do, we need to have that attitude, that belief, that we need to do it at the best of our ability, to be as accurate as possible, thus doing it with all of our might. And once we've accomplished that, to have the feeling that God has blessed us to be able to have that opportunity in our life, whatever it may be, whether it's with a family, whether it's with a job or schooling, whatever it may be, that we did it with all of our might and did it the way God wanted us to. The definition of the word accuracy is the condition or quality of being true, of being correct, being exact, a precision, and exactness. It also is defined as complete. We want to feel our life is complete. Our life is correct. Our life has a precision to it, an exactness. Growing up, I knew early in my life, and I've mentioned this before, that if I wanted things, I needed to find jobs locally, because I didn't have a car. So within my little neighborhood, I went looking for jobs to make money, such as mowing yards, doing odd labor jobs. I did security. This was usually during the summer because I was a kid. I couldn't do it during school. I did carpentry, I did electrical work with my dad, but all of these things, I realized that people were very pleased, they were very happy to pay someone who did something with all their might. They did it correctly. They didn't skimp. They took pride in their work. And even at a young age, I learned that. I have an article here. You can see it's rather discolored. It's not a new article. 50 years ago, 1971. It says, three nursery employees charged with stealing plants for 3 years. That was an article. Well, there was a young man back then. Yeah, I was young at one time. And it did state here that these employees were charged with stealing plants because we had a local nursery where I grew up, very large nursery. And I'm going to read excerpts of this because what I also found early in life and through life was you will run across all sorts of people. Those that are honest and good, but those that are also want to take advantage and do things that are not right in life. And even in a young age, I saw this. Wasn't necessarily brought up around it, but whether in school or wherever I was at, if you were observant, you would see this. Well, this article talks about an investigation was started, which appeared to be just a petty larceny, a theft, petty larceny. There was a young man named Randy McQuinn, a security guard at a local modular home plant where I grew up at, spotted a man taking plants, putting them in his trunk. Well, this was during the summer, 1971, so I was a security guard at this plant at night, all night long. Well, this man showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning at the nursery, which was right down from where I was at, started loading plants in his trunk. He was an employee there. And the only way I saw him was when he went to park his car, he put his brakes on, so his taillights came on. Knowing, well, there's nobody that should be there that day of the week, that time of hour. So I went down and investigated. And he had his trunk full, 40-something plants. But when this was reported, he only told the police he only had 3 in his trunk, which he did. He had already removed the other 42. But through their investigation, which shows he lied, he was stealing, he was coveting, other commandments that were being broken, which at that time I didn't know about God's commandments, God's law, but I knew stealing was wrong. And I knew it had to be reported, which it was. But it turns out that he lied to the police. He continued to lie to the police. But eventually the truth came out and he implicated 2 others. But what was so sad about this, one of the employees of the nursery itself was a 21-year employee. 21 years. The other 2 were 9-year employees. I mean, where's the dedication? Where's the respect of employees? Which I saw at a 17-year-old kid that this is wrong. Did not want any part of this. But, you know, you remember things like this. Where was the accuracy there? There was none. He took a chance and he was caught. So they said they had been doing it for 3 years. Well, he lied before. My personal opinion is he was lying then. They just admitted to 3 years. And they were admitting taking $30 to $50 per week for 3 years. Well, a 21-year employee, 3 years, I don't see it. 9-year employee, just 3 years, I don't see it either in that case. Speculation on my part, but that was 50 years ago. 50 years ago. So I want to make a comment to our younger group. You're going to learn these things if you haven't already started learning these things about people who you come in contact with, whether it's during job opportunities or just everyday life, whether in school, around your neighborhood. You're going to see and you're going to hear the good and you're going to hear the bad. But you need to know that God is there. You need to know right from wrong. You need to listen to your parents. You need to discuss things with your parents. Because your life is full of accuracies. That God is watching. God knows all of it, everything about us. And in our life, the simple things, from balancing a checkbook, from cooking, because there's different types of measurements that you need to be accurate on. Unless you're like me, then you're eyeballing it. Over years, you get to the point where you just realize, well, this is the way I did it, and it tasted really good. So I don't need to measure out a full cup or a half cup or whatever, just eyeball it. Driving, you know, house projects for the men or women, hanging pictures or whatever, the accuracy that's needed there. Just simple things. And there are people, there are businesses in this world that still appreciate and reward those who work hard and do their best. And that's one reason I took my career choice as an accountant, was because it was a simple application. Everything had to balance. There was this balance in that profession. If it wasn't balanced, that was an issue. But the only unknown of that profession is the person or persons or businesses you work for when they're making decisions that impact you. But in my 43 years of service at the company that I work for, God blessed me tremendously. Because all through the mergers and acquisitions and layoffs, I was always still there, serving, being employed. So God blessed me with that success. But again, you still run across people that are going to do their own thing, make their own decisions, try to work around. There's a lot of workarounds in this world. People don't want to follow the rules, just like God's commandments. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it. So the title of my sermon this afternoon is Seek Spiritual Accuracy Through God's Word. Seek spiritual accuracy through God's Word. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 with me. We need to seek that spiritual accuracy through God's Word, because God is complete. God is everything. God does not make mistakes. Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus speaking here saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So here's all these things that we need to be doing. We need to be working. We need to put that effort in. And just like Ecclesiastes 9:10 said, we need to be doing this with all of our might. This is our life. You're still in Matthew 7. Turn back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 48. Again, Jesus speaking here, saying, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It's a very high standard, very high bar set there for us. Be you therefore perfect. Of course, none of us are perfect, but we are to continually strive to work towards that goal that has been set for us. Jesus Christ is telling us here, become perfect, emphasizing the need for Christians, for us, to change, to strive toward perfection, to be accurate, that striving for that. And God is saying through Matthew that human beings have that awesome potential It is there before us. God is presenting it to us. Here it is. Seek it. Go for it. That we have that potential for perfection. There's a Greek word for the word perfect. And it's pronounced teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S. And it means completeness or maturity. Complete perfection will come at the resurrection to those who are becoming spiritually mature in this life, as we should be doing each and every day. And in these words, we find further incentive to overcome. God is asking us, overcome, achieve, listen to me. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, again, Christ speaking. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to us, will I give power over the nations. Here it is. This is what you need to do to be there, to receive this. If you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Here we see Paul speaking. I went to 1 Corinthians. That's why it's taking me a little while. Now I'm in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleansing ourselves, asking God. We can't do this on our own. You just can't step into the shower or sit in the bathtub. We need to go to God. Cleanse us. Ask our Father, just as David did in Psalms 51, verses 2 and 10, where he was asking his Father, asking God to cleanse him, to create in him a clean heart. That's what we should be doing. Those words apply to us today. We need that cleansing. We need that clean heart to be able to follow where God wants to lead us through his Holy Spirit. Because it's a learning process. I don't care if you've graduated from high school and you're in college now. You're still learning. We're all learning. Some of us have been out of school for a long time. But we're still in school. We're still being trained. We're still learning in God's Word. We haven't learned at all. Neither will any of us. But the beauty of it is God is allowing us each day. When you wake up in the morning, God has allowed you another day to spend time with him in prayer and in study, in meditation, to be thinking about his word. Let's go to Psalms 18. Psalms 18, verse 30. Psalms 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So God's way is perfect. So must our way be. We should be following God. So our way needs to be perfect. In verse 32, it is God that girds me with strength. He girds us with his strength and makes our way perfect. Again, we need to be striving to reach that goal. But without God's help, because we're not doing it on our own, it's God and his help for us. But without his help, we could never master this. It's the intention to do, but the intention to do so, to capture this, to master this area, has to begin with us. God does the calling, but we just can't sit on our thumbs. We can't sit on our hands. We have to be doing. We have to be working. We have to be mobile, moving forward, because we must take the steps to be all that God would have us to be. It's in God's word. Here it is. Study it. Learn it. Bring it into your heart and your mind. Do you really want it? Do we want it? Do we want to be a part of God's glorious future? Because he's planned it for us from the very beginning, before the foundations of the world. The God family's planned it for us. And we're told to live differently in this world. If you would turn to Titus chapter 2. Now, we're told to be incorruptible. We're told to be reverent. We're told to be loving and temperate. All of these things that God is instructing us to be, to work towards. In Titus 2, starting in verse 1. But speak you the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to train them to be responsible, to love their husbands, to love their children, and we may add there, to love one another. Verse 5, to be discreet, to be sensible, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And also the husbands should be obedient to their wives as well, to love them and cherish them and take care of each one another, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded or self-controlled, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing soundness, the seriousness, and the sincerity. In verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Make sure we're controlling what is coming out of our mouth, our heart, and our mind, that is uplifting. It's what God would want us to be speaking. Our sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Because we're to be examples to the world around us. Because it's true, we are to be living as good examples. But if we spend our time only with corrupt individuals, we're in areas that we really should not be around, there's that eventuality that we could possibly fall into trouble. It would rub off, as they say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, we have to be watchful. Again, our life, we have to have that accuracy in our life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. we read, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Whereas my Bible has a reference here, "Evil companionships corrupt good manners." So a corrosive atmosphere around us can affect our own being. And it's in today's world you see it, that corrosiveness, how it's just eating away at the infrastructure of the world, even of this nation. You know, God understands us, God knows us, and He knows that people tend to act and do as those around them. It just, the friction, it wears off. Which is why He's warning us to avoid such relationships. We have to be very careful. We have to think about it. We need to be aware of our surroundings and how Satan will manipulate. He's always active. He will manipulate these events to distract and try to influence wrong thoughts or actions on our part. We have to be very careful. You know, that's how a lot of traditions start, how languages develop, and why we tend to use, you know, certain gestures and words that we've heard or we've been around from our closest friends or families, because they've used them constantly. It may start out slowly. We may, you know, be strong to fight, push back against it. And sometimes you'll even be surprised when you may do or you may say something out of character. You know, have you ever thought that to yourself? You go, you know, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And you catch yourself. Of course, for us, we go to God and we seek forgiveness. Yeah, I brought a couple of props with me here, because there's a verse in Judges 20, verse 16. You would join me in Judges 20, verse 16. And it was just speaking of the accuracy, but all that's involved with God and His accuracy, His commandments, His holy days, His Sabbath day. Well, there's a story in the Old Testament in Judges. I'm not going to go through the whole story because it would take a considerable amount of time. But it was a part where the tribe of Benjamin almost was wiped out. There was this disagreement. And they fought with the other tribes of Israel. But in Judges 20, verse 16, because the other thing that made me think about this was the Olympics and all the things going on, all the accuracies and events. But it just struck me funny because you would always read in God's word of the mighty men of Israel, you know, the soldiers and all their specialties. Well, here you read in Judges 20, verse 16, that among all these people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed, and every one of those 700 could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Well, my prop is, you can't really probably see this, but it's not one of my hairs. Of course, it's obviously, and it's pretty long, but there's a hair, single strand. So it doesn't say how far away they were when they slung the stone, but they were so accurate, they would hit that hair. Be pretty interesting. Okay? Very interesting. But they don't have that in the Olympics. Maybe we should write in and say, hey, let's have some stone slinging events. Who knows? And I want to leave this up here for the song leader, so I'll put that in my Bible. But all of these physical, this is a physical training and accuracy is temporary, but it's a precision that these soldiers had. But in this storyline, they were on the losing side. So it didn't really matter how accurate they were. They may have been part of the group of Benjamin that survived, or they were possibly part of the group that died. Because we have to realize we need to have accuracy in our life. But the one most important thing we need in our life is God. We need God. We need to follow God. We need to do what God's wanting us to do. That is the important thing. Love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. God takes effort to change who we are. We just can't glide into the kingdom. It's not going to happen. God's not going to accept us as we are. It's not going to happen. We have to put forth that effort to change, to improve. And there are times in our life, I know it's happened with me, that there have been times where it's just been, seems impossible of staying away from bad influences or things that we know is not right. We shouldn't say words. We shouldn't do things. Whatever it may be. But if you would, turn to 3 John 1, verse 11. 3 John 1, 11. We read, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that practices good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. Well, we must realize that we have to recognize what's good and what's evil. Well, how do we do that? Well, God tells us. It's here in God's Word. Well, we have to do the work. We have to delve into God's Word. The study guides that we have, that the church publishes, the Beyond Today booklets, magazine, the programs. There are many, many sources. The Bible that we have. We have to recognize it. We have to keep evil out of our life and do good. Not only for ourselves, but for our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. If you would, go to Romans chapter 14 and verse 16. Romans 14, verse 16. Here Paul is speaking. Says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Where it says in my Bible, you don't want to acquire a bad name. Paul's reminding us here to not let our good be spoken of as evil. Well, we've already seen examples in today's world of how people are calling good evil and evil good. So there's still going to come a time, and even today, in today's world, our good name in the cancel culture, in the woke, whatever group you want to decide to talk about, they will do whatever they can to diminish you, to turn people against you, But we need to know that we belong to God. We know God's commandments. We know God's love. We know God's, and we're to be expressing this. We cannot allow this to affect our life and our progression to the kingdom. The people do not know what they're doing. Just as they crucified Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we come against events like this, where we're chastised or we're belittled because of God and the way we believe, and we overcome that, we move forward. Because a lot of people are, in some cases, always looking for the bad in someone. And that's where we have to be very careful, because we could slip up. We could make a mistake. And they go, well, look what he did. Look what she did. They forget about all the good things. They just remember that one bad thing that you may have slipped up and done. Because we could be going along in our life, doing well in life, and then stumble. Whether we speak evil, whether we say something, whatever it may be, they're going to criticize. But we have to be above that. I mean, that even came up in the Olympics before the Olympics started. They were tearing people down in positions because of what they had done years ago. They may have said something. They may have been reported they did something. And I'm sure they were sorry that it occurred years ago, but they brought it up where these people lost their positions in the Olympics. I mean, it's just, that's a small item, but it's all around this world. But we know this. And we need to be even more aware on how we treat others. You know, I'm talking about people treating us, but we have to be very careful in how we treat others. Whether they're close to us or not, we have to remember, what is our example? Is it a good example? In Luke chapter 6, verse 33, we need to look in the mirror. How are we doing based on God's perspective, God's laws, God's commandments? Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, are we copying how Christ was? In Luke 6, verse 33, Christ speaking, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? Okay, we need to be loving, kind to everyone. We love our neighbors as ourselves. We need to have that outgoing love and concern. And it needs to be to such a point that it comes naturally to us and from us. Because we must internalize. We need to internalize it, to build it, to use it, to show it, to grow it through God's Holy Spirit. And we must be genuine in it. Not faking it, not putting on a big show, but genuine. In Psalms chapter 37, you would join me there, please. Psalms 37. I go through a few verses here in Psalms 37. I start at verse 3 through 5. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we're to trust in the Lord. We're to delight in the Lord. We're to commit ourselves to the Lord. In verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. So if we cease from anger, people can't really pinpoint us and say, ooh, look what he did. He just blew up. He's an angry person, or he's a wrathful person. We need to cast that from us. In verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Leave evil behind us. Depart from it. Don't go back to it. Depart. Stay away from it. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. So again, wait on the Lord. Seek him. You know, if we don't do this, people are just going to see right through us, because it'll be like a deception. So whenever we have the opportunity in our life, we're to be doing good to everyone. Especially each one of us in here, the household of faith, God's people. You find that in Galatians 6:10. I'll just make reference to it. Galatians 6:10. Again, this has to become a part of our very nature. You know, as God worked with Abram, you would go to Genesis 17, verse 1. What does he say to Abram in chapter 17, verse 1? We read, and when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect. Well, isn't he asking us the same thing? He's called us. He wants us to walk before him. He wants us to become perfect. Sounds pretty tall order, doesn't it? Sounds impossible. It's not impossible. It's not. Because we know that God's ways and his thoughts are much higher than ours. Again, I'll just make reference to Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. God's ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts and our ways. We know that, but we know that we can work towards what God is presenting to us so that we become sons and daughters of God, to have that mind of God, that mind of Christ. Another prop that I brought, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 19. As I just said, it sounds really daunting to walk before God and be perfect. But it's in God's Word. God's Word is truth. God cannot lie. Well, in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26, I'm just going to pick out a spot here. In verse 24. This is where the young man came to Christ saying, what must I do? What must I do? And that's starting in verse 16. So what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know the story of Christ said, well, go, sell all that you have, give to the poor. Come and follow me. But before that, he asked, or he told him to follow the commandments, which the young man said from his youth, he had kept all these things. And then he was told to go sell all that he had. But the young man went away. So Christ is talking about in verse 24, where he says, or in verse 23, he says, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, I was rather reluctant to bring this prop because it's a pointy object and I have a tendency to stick myself with these things. Well, here's a needle. Okay, and you probably cannot see the eye of the needle. You know? So he's making reference that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, yeah. Again, walk before me and be you perfect. Oh, okay. Send a camel through the eye of a needle. Okay, your mind goes, I can't fathom that. Okay, but Christ is saying here, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. How often do we limit God in our life? How often? Probably more than we really should be. When God was talking to Abram about being, you know, walk before him and be perfect, there's a Hebrew word for perfect that dealt with Genesis 17:1. And that word is, I'll spell it, T-A-M-I-Y-M. Tamim. Which can also mean complete, whole, entire, without blemish, and undefiled. So walk before God complete. Walk before God whole, without blemish, undefiled, perfect. God is seeking people whose hearts seek after him, who want to be perfect, who wants to be just like God, an elder brother of Jesus Christ. We need to be living God's standard daily and consistently so that our human nature begins to be replaced by God's Holy Spirit. God wants us to come out of the world that's all around us, to be complete within him, wholly focused on his way of life. You know, we're to be like those that were recorded in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. They were looking or seeking a better country. And in that word country in Hebrews, the Greek word is spelled P-A-T-R-I-S. Pronounced Patris, meaning a heavenly body. They know that Christ is returning. We know that Christ is returning. We have the fall holy days just ahead of us, which this will be talked about. We know the approaching time that only God knows when Christ will return, of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And we're seeking that. We're praying to God to bring his kingdom. We're asking God to help us endure to the end and to be counted worthy to be resurrected as sons and daughters of our Father and elder brother Jesus Christ. To be there with Christ during that time. And then moving on to the next phase, helping mankind learn the truth that we're learning now. So we're to be seeking that spiritual accuracy through God's word. God's word is perfect. God is perfect. His word is truth. Use his word. Use our time wisely. Redeem the time Because we're to be like our father and elder brother. Pray that the Holy Spirit guides us with the power and the love and the sound mind that comes, was given to us from God. Because throughout God's Word, throughout every page of God's Word, from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, to Revelations 22, verse 21. I'll read verses 20 and 21 of Revelations 22. He which testifies, he that says these things, in God's word, says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That time is ahead of us. We need to be looking forward to that time. And we need to be looking forward to building ourselves to become better and better each day. In God's word, in God's love, understanding, seeking his wisdom, his understanding, praying for one another, because there are just so many out there in need. Never ceasing to be close to God each and every day. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.